Oh, happy Friday to you. It is a football Friday here on Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith, that is Rob Williams. Look at the HD Law Studios. Look how slick that is. Go back to that. Why were you on the USS Enterprise?
That's my morning minute screen, Smitty.
I love it. I love it.
I could flip it back for you. I've got a dark version. I've got a dark version as well. You want the dark version?
Oh, that's strong. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's good. That's space age. We like that. Hey, we're cutting edge here at Four Quarter Friday, fourquarterfriday.com. You find us here every Friday, every Friday night from here on in. You're going to find us on a football field somewhere in the state of South Carolina. You'll find us on the Varsity Club message board at fourquarterfriday.com 7 days a week. Jamborees in full effect across the state tonight, except in Charleston, on what is projected to be the hottest day of the year. Some of the jamborees have pushed their start times. Charleston County has gone ahead and made the decision to cancel its jamboree, but there's still plenty of football going on tonight. We're going to have eyes and ears everywhere. We'll tell you about that. You can find everything we find out tonight at fourquarterfriday.com. We're going to have live updates from the fields, from the jamborees across the state. We are currently running a special at fourquarterfriday.com. Here's the promotion. Membership for the whole year, $2.49 per month. You get Four Quarter Friday, On Three, Rivals, all of it. 75% off. That's just $29.99 for the year. That is the deal we're running. We've extended a little bit because we want to make sure we captured what's going on with the jamborees. You can see what a Friday night looks like for us here at Four Quarter Friday. All right, Rob, so tell us the latest. One of the things that you've been tasked with is you were trying to juggle this and keep up with all of the scheduling and who's, you know, maybe canceling or maybe they're going to split fields. So tell us what you know so far about tonight's jamborees.
Well, first of all, it is an incredible Friday, Smitty. It's good to be here. Jamboree Friday is here, which means we are just 1 week away from not week zero, but week one of the high school football season. We're excited about it. I know that our friends at the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association are excited about it, and we want to make sure that we point all of our coaches in that direction. And also here in the HD Law Studios, Hewitt Amadeus Law, hdlawsc.com for all of your needs, personal injury, dog bite, fell down the stairs, whatever it is. And, you know, maybe some teams are going to need to call Dean and Brad tonight, Smitty. Maybe they're going to need to get on the phone because there might be personal injury in some of these, not to the players, but to the pride. We'll see who punches who in the mouth early tonight. It is early in the season. It's not even really the season yet, but we will have takeaways. We will have updates as we already do. FourQuarterFriday.com. You can find the live news feed there that is going to get you updates on all of these jamborees, schedule changes, et cetera. Charleston County School District, Smitty, like you said, canceled tonight. The wet bulb is out to get everybody today. It is everybody's worst enemy with skyrocketing temperatures, lots of delays. So Lexington County decided to split into 2 days, or two locations, I'm sorry. So they will be at Pillion in addition to Lexington so that they can play those games a little bit later, do two games at each location. And a lot of bump backs on some of these scheduling times. I know Strom Thurmond bumped back a little bit. They're going to start at 7. The WRHI event in Football City, USA, that features all three of those teams in the Rock Hill area, South Point, Northwestern, and, of course, Rock Hill. That one's going to push back an hour, now beginning at 6:30. So there's a lot of stuff that's happening. I will say, McDonald's Kickoff Classics here in the Upstate, Chapman and Burns both hosting, as of now, still on normal schedule, Smitty.
All right, and you're going to be in Rock Hill.
I am.
I'm going to be at the CMB Kickoff Classic in Conway. We have got correspondents that are going to help us at some of the other locations. We know we're going to have Cole Bryson, the voice of the Burns Rebels, that will update us by what's happening there at the Burns Jamboree. And we'll get to all of those schedules before today's program is up. But here's what we want to do. We want to bring you some of what we have been in front of recently. And I was earlier this week in front of 10 coaches from the Horry County area because the CMB Kickoff Classic, I love that they do this. At Coastal Carolina, they held a media day. And so we got to see the coaches, you know, Jody Jenneret, who's taken the job again at Conway behind the podium, zinging everybody, roasting all the other coaches in the area. We saw Perry Wilbright, North Myrtle Beach. We're going to hear from him. We talked to Ben Hampton. He was there at the podium from Socastee High School. And I know Socastee has been down, but they have been hit by the injury bug, cluster injuries in recent seasons. And he's a little bit, I'm going to say quietly confident, because he's kind of saying the same things he always says, but he is really excited about a few key players that we can touch on, including his sophomore running back, Elijah Owens, who burst on the scene last year as a freshman and finished the year with a string of 100-yard games, leading Socastee into the playoffs. Aner head coach Jason Allen, he said they're going back, not forward in football, but backward and further back to go to the single wing again. So don't expect a lot of passing there. But where you can expect a lot of passing, where balls will be in the air, is at Myrtle Beach. The Seahawks always attack from above with Mickey Wilson. Before we get here from Coach Wilson, who played, by the way, in the very first CMB Kickoff Classic Jamboree in 1990. He was a quarterback there for Conway at the very first one. What are your you have any overall thoughts about, Rob, any of these teams, any of those ones that jump out to you, Loris and Greg Mance? So they've got a young team because they lost so many starters. Anything you're hearing intel-wise from the Grand Strand and the PD?
Yeah, I think that there's a couple of interesting storylines. I know we have a couple of clips here from Mickey Wilson, one on the event. You mentioned he played in the CMB Classic back in the day, and also one about his offense, specifically the offensive line up front, which we'll get a chance to hear about. Excited. You know, it's interesting from a coaching standpoint. You've got guys like Mickey Wilson that have been around for a really long time. You got some guys that are back, like Jody Jenneret, like Perry Wilbright. And then you obviously have some younger coaches. You work your way kind of around that PD Grand Strand area. How about Scott Braswell over at South Florence, right? Like, that's going to be a big story this year as in the Rivals composite rankings. The Bruins come in really, really high in the first preseason poll there. So a lot of expectation, even though Drew Marlowe is gone. I think there's still a lot of talent on that roster. You're breaking in a new quarterback. That will be the question. You know, also, Smitty, you mentioned Loris. I think when we look across classifications, you're going to see some more powerhouse stuff happening in the PD Grand Strand. This seems to be one of those years where some of the lower classifications are going to have really, really strong teams in the PD Grand Strand, maybe up in the 4A, 5A region. The concentration of highly ranked teams is not there. But then as you make your way down, Class A, 2A, even some in 3A, you're going to get a little bit more. So it's interesting, you know, that region or that area of the state compared to other areas. Some places are stronger in 5A and really, really weak when you get down to the 1A and vice versa.
And let me say this about – because I know how good – look, we won't sugarcoat how good – Dutch Fork has been, how good Northwestern has been, and the football is in the Rock Hill area. Also, Spartanburg County, Greenville County. Greenville County has been coming up recently. We'll hear from Brian Lane, Westside head coach, before today's show is over. So good there. One of the things that the reason I believe that there are some underrated teams and programs right now in the Horry County, Florence County area is this. 1-point losses in the playoffs. If Carolina Forest, yeah, you know, knocks out Somerville instead of dropping 2 1-score games, but instead wins those games, then we're leading almost every show with a team like that. We're like, oh, watch, that would make them like Irmo. That would put them in an Irmo-like level in terms of recent accomplishments.
Right.
But instead, those losses have gone the other way. And that's happened a lot to some Charleston County teams and some Horry County teams and some Florence County teams. And I just think there's a chance that if that changes, if that spins, you know, just a little bit, then you could see. I'm not going to suggest that the balance of power would go from Rock Hill down to the PD, but what I would say is I think that's why some of those teams and programs and coaches are a little bit underrated. And look, Mickey Wilson's not underrated. And his name, everybody knows his name, and so we'll get to that. Let's hear from Mickey Wilson a little bit, head coach from Myrtle Beach. This is from this week at the CMB Kickoff Classic Media Day, where I was right there in front of Coach Wilson.
Starting that, and you can see for 30-plus years, it's been an amazing jamboree. Kids get excited about coming over here, and it's a great environment and a great way for our kids to be under the lights and in front of a big crowd.
So first of all, Smitty, I wanted to comment there because you mentioned that he played in it. One of the things that we want to focus on, and then I'm going to play the clip from his offense, but environment, I think, is what sets South Carolina football apart. And I thought it was important to grab that moment from Coach Wilson, a coach who's been around the game since the turn of the century in this in this state, to describe what it's like on Jamboree night. If you're not planning to get out there tonight, look, go to fourquarterfriday.com. Look down the list of all the opportunities that you have around the state to see quality football tonight. Smitty always says, for $10, you can see a star that's going to be a big name in the college game or even in the NFL week in and week out. We have prices, as we've been informed, on some of these as well. Some of it's cheaper than $10 tonight, Smitty, because it's a jamboree. You might get in for $5 tonight. You may get your kids in for free. You might be able to have a couple extra bucks to swing by the Mexican restaurant beforehand and get a burrito before you head into the game, okay? So this event in Conway, I think, brings a lot of history, but it brings a lot of environmental importance to just what's in the air when you show up to a South Carolina high school football Friday night. I'm excited that you get to be there.
Yeah, this is a good one. This is one of the best events, and I know not everybody is going to be near this one, but hey, don't worry about it. You can just go to fourquarterfriday.com, and I'll keep you updated on what's happening. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take the tripod, so we're going to have some videos, some photos. I'll take you as close as I can to the action on the inside of what goes on with all the, because there's 10 teams in action tonight, although they might have a split field, and we'll see how many that I can get my eyes on, but we'll talk about Mickey Wilson's offense in just a moment, but you mentioned environment, and Ainer head coach Jason Allen said, hey, we don't play 5A football. We don't get a chance to play at places like this that are like Brooks Stadium, you know, on the campus of Coastal Carolina. This is a big deal. Stephen Cagle, new head coach at St. James, formerly an assistant at Lexington and Dorman. He's been in big-time environments. He played college football on that field when he was at Charleston Southern. He actually told a good story. He blocked an extra point, so his team won, I think, 59-58. When Jamie Chadwell was coaching at Charleston Southern, not at Coastal Carolina. And he said, yeah, it's special. It is, all to a man, all of those coaches said, it's a special event and it's a special environment. And I want to expose the kids to this early. That way they won't be intimidated the next time. And if you think about it, that's really good to throw these kids into the fire. And if you're not one of the teams that plays 5A football, like, look, Waccamaw. Amandre Johnson and his Waccamaw team are going to be in one of the biggest environments in terms of the lights will be brightest because he plays a 2A classification this year. This is it. This is the biggest stage in terms of, you know, just size of the stadium. So his kids will see that, and from now on, they won't be intimidated, except when they go to Dillon, which everybody's intimidated when they go to Dillon. All right. So let's hear Mickey Wilson, head coach Myrtle Beach High School, coming off an 8-4 season, talking about his offense, and we'll hear from what he has to say, and then I'll add a little bit more because J.J. Jones is a guy you have to see. Here's Coach Wilson on that Seahawks offense.
I think the thing that'll be our strength this year is our offense. We return 6 starters on that side of the ball. Those guys have done a really good job this summer. We're excited about those guys. just real quick. So, guys are done. Offensive line-wise, we got Zach Contos, Caleb Crosby, and DP Jordan coming back on our offensive line. Those guys are played a lot of football for us. 3 out of the 5 starters coming back there.
Smitty, the offensive front is where it all begins for a lot of these teams, right? If you can run the football – if you can protect the quarterback, you're going to have success at the high school level. I know that you want to add in about J.J. Jones. You also, Myrtle Beach working in a new quarterback this year. I don't know if you want to speak on that a little bit as well. But if a team, a lot of times at the college level when we're evaluating or people are making predictions and projections for the year, you're going to look at the quarterback position. Do they have a returning starter? What does the defense look like? But when I'm looking at high school teams, Smitty, I want to know, what do they return in the trenches on both sides? Clearly, Myrtle Beach returns six starters, and three of those are up front. That's going to be big for them.
Yeah, well, there's no question that early in the season, especially, very early in the season, though, that's going to be pivotal for those teams that have returning starters experience in the trenches, because then before everything gets clicking in the passing game, and it's never going to be clicking in the passing game the way you want it to in August. That's just not the way football works. You need time. Those quarterbacks and receivers need time together, and that new quarterback is Camden DeBrill. And of course, Mickey Wilson has a quarterback. Of course he does. And he's excited about him, and he's got all the tools. And so I'm excited to see him take the field. But the guy he's throwing to, J.J. Jones, number one high jumper in the nation as a sophomore, won the dunk contest at the Beach Ball Classic. Mickey Wilson said the guy's worth the price of admission. And he's seen them all. He has seen them all. He has coached against them. He's coached with those guys on his team. And he is more excited about the level of playmaker that he has in J.J. Jones than I've heard Mickey Wilson in a long, long time. Now, that doesn't mean, again, production is different. But, I mean, what are we saying? J.J. Jones was productive last year. There are plenty of games you could pick up the paper, the Sun News, and say eight catches, 149 yards, a touchdown for J.J. Jones. But he's just really excited about them. So what we'll watch for with Myrtle Beach is that combination, DeBrill to Jones, which I think we're going to hear a lot about throughout the season. Is Myrtle Beach going to elevate itself? 8-4 last year, which is really, really good, but not state title contender. And it's a work in progress defensively. So how long can Myrtle Beach kind of get away with that inexperience on defense before they start to get chewed up in that region schedule? So those are some things to watch for. By the way, incidentally, Hal McManus is the AD now at Myrtle Beach High School. His father, Harold McManus, for some that are a little bit older, know he's a legendary coach from the Burns area, and Hal McManus himself won a state championship at Broome with DJ Moore and a great group. There at Broome High School in the upstate, and now Hal McManus has gone down to the lower part of the state, and I think he and Mickey Wilson get along real well. That's what I've heard. But six starters back on offense, including J.J. Jones from Myrtle Beach, so plenty to be excited about. At the very least, what you're going to see is the scoreboard's going to light up at Myrtle Beach High School games this year. So great place to go see a game, and we'll be tracking them all season long. Obviously, I'll be calling Friday night rivals games. We've got Myrtle Beach in week two, I believe, on the television slate. So, look, we just had to get a little Mickey Wilson on there. And by the way, I said he has a quarterback. And did you notice he had to check his notes to get the lineman's name? So Jason Allen from Ainer said he's going back to the single wing, and it's like slipping on an old sweatshirt. And he loves his offensive line, and he said, I'd rather have a lineman than a quarterback any day. And Jody Jenneret agreed, former Ainer head coach, Conway head coach, old lineman, agreed. Mickey Wilson takes the podium and said, great day in the morning. What is wrong with you guys taking a lineman over a quarterback? Mickey Wilson, he couldn't let it stand. He couldn't just let them brag on their linemen. He had to talk about quarterbacks.
Well, it's a great question, Smitty, and I think that I would love to hear, you know, in our chat box over here or from you guys on fourquarterfriday.com. Remember, the Varsity Club is there for you to chop it up with us on questions like this, but also your inside scoop, your information from coaches and ADs, all of that exists there. But this is a question that should be on the Varsity Club, and we'll ask it now. What would you rather have? Those of you watching, listening, a quality at the high school level, quality offensive lineman, or a quarterback? Which one is it for you? Do you want to just put an athlete back there behind a good line and roll? or you want a quarterback who can maybe put the team on his back, even if he's in trouble a little bit? That is the question.
Mickey Wilson would get the shakes if he didn't have a quarterback. So I know which is what he answered.
Exactly. But,
Let's talk now a little bit about some of the other teams. And Perry Woolbright, we've got a clip coming up here from Perry Woolbright, who returns after a successful run at Clover. Now he's back at North Myrtle Beach. And I'll tell you, if it's not in the clip, I'll give you a couple of quips that Perry Woolbright shared. But one thing I like about Coach Woolbright is, of course, you know, the coaches, they're there in those Nikes, you know, everybody's wearing their Nikes and kind of, you know, like those tech pants, you know, the coach's uniform these days and the, you know, the 3/4 zip or whatever. Perry Woolbright's in shorts and flip flops. Happy to be back in Little River. Happy to be back on the coast. So here's North Myrtle Beach head coach, Perry Woolbright, new head coach, same as the old coach. Here's Coach Woolbright.
But it's the community. North Myrtle Beach has never won a state championship. They played and won, had a lot of unsuccessful years. When I took the job in 2010, they'd had, in 50 years, they'd had six seasons above 500. But it's a community that cares about football and the school and athletics either way. I had a community that supported me when I was 0-20, going into the third season. A lot of places you've been run off. I was a young guy, thought I knew what I was doing, had to learn a lot. But that community would still support me. And in the 13 years I left, many of the community members have kept up with me, reached out to me more about success at other schools and things like that. And now they've come back. So very fortunate to be back in a great place in North Myrtle Beach.
There it is, Smitty. You mentioned he's happy to be back. You just mentioned also how Maine is coming back down to the coast. Perry Woolbright back from Clover. And he's excited. And I, you know, we mentioned environment with Mickey Wilson earlier. Here's another pillar of high school football in the state of South Carolina, the community that rallies. And Coach Woolbright called it out. Not a ton of success at North Myrtle Beach, but what a fan base, Smitty. What a passionate group. They make themselves known and heard in person and on the internet. There's no question about the passion of these fans. And I think it says a lot about, and he said it there. Takes a pay cut, comes back down, comes to a program that has not had historic success, and he's ready to take them to the next level.
Great bloodline for Coach Woolbright, and he told this story a little bit. So his grandfather, Cecil Woolbright, who's a South Carolina Football Coaches Association Hall of Famer, his father, Marty Woolbright, I believe he's also in the Hall of Fame, and Coach Woolbright, Perry Woolbright, told a pretty fun story that he said early on in his coaching career, he had been an assistant at Fort Dorchester, had been an assistant at Gaffney, and he was going to take his first head job. And his father said, well, you probably ought to go somewhere with that good athletes to find out if you can coach or not. And he said he went to North Myrtle Beach, had three losing seasons, said, you were right, Dad, I can't coach. It is something to go from, not, and it's certainly not a knock on North Myrtle Beach. We know they've got some athletes. Just look at their baseball success. But his point being that they aren't turning out the athletes. And he even said, this team won't wow you getting off the bus, but they're playing hard. They're listening. And he thinks they're going to come together. Now, Coach Woolbright played two quarterbacks at Clover. And he might play two this season as well, unless these two guys separate from themselves. So here's one more clip from Coach Woolbright about his strategy this year.
State championships year in and out? Probably not. But we can put a product up on the field that makes our community proud. And at the end of the night, they know we did everything we could to come out successful at the end of the year. You know, offensively, you know, we'll throw it probably once or twice more than Coach Generette did last year throughout the year. But we do got some good guys. Got a couple young quarterbacks kind of playing for the start role. And a lot, both of them will probably stay, play a lot this year. You know, the last two seasons at Clover, I've rotated quarterbacks every two series. Now, a couple games that changed. One time, my son got banged up a little bit. Another guy played more in one game. The other kid wasn't playing good. My son was playing a little better, so he played a little bit more. But for the last two seasons, I've rotated quarterbacks every two series, and we won a lot of ball games doing that.
That is so interesting to me, Smitty. Rotating every two series, kind of no matter what, unless there's an injury or a significant discrepancy in play. But when you have two guys, do you rotate them? You know, my question then becomes, how many other programs across the state may employ a similar tactic? When we look at position battles right now, some of the intel that we have coming in from programs across the state that still have quarterback battles, is it a possibility that we may see this at more than just North Myrtle Beach? Will we see two quarterback systems across the state at some of the more prominent programs? It's definitely something to watch out for, and Jamboree night is a great time to figure out if we think it's still neck and neck or is somebody starting to separate.
Well, that's right. We'll put you on the spot, ask you about Burns, because they had a four-way quarterback battle as of about 2 weeks ago, according to Coach Reggie Shaw. All right, we'll tease that for the second part of the show. But, hey, CMB Kickoff Classic, so that's what's happening here. Charleston County canceled again, but I will be at the only Jamboree for, 100 miles down here, and it's a big one. We'll see how they split it up, because now the start time has been pushed back to 7:30, but I'll be there on the ground. I'll be giving updates, and you can find those updates at fourquarterfriday.com. Conway, Aynor, Waccamaw, Socastee, Green Sea, Floyds, Carolina Forest, St. James, Myrtle Beach, North Myrtle Beach, Loras, all in action tonight somewhere. So we'll see how it all plays out, but I will get my eyes on at least half of those teams tonight at the CMB Kickoff Classic. All right, we'll take a break here. Our thanks to Bill Maloney for bringing us the first quarter. Bill Maloney, Farm Bureau Insurance. Give, as I always say, if Bill Maloney will give Rob insurance, I mean, come on. He can help you out. Reach out to Bill. 803-637-6246. Bill Maloney, Farm Bureau Insurance, brings you the first quarter. Of course, Four Quarter Friday presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. We'll hit a break. When we return, we'll make our way up the state a little bit from Lou Bazejack, the state newspaper. Then we'll get into the upstate. All of that is ahead. Get in the chat box with us here at Four Quarter Friday. And it's very important that you know how to get to fourquarterfriday.com, because all the good stuff is on the Varsity Club message board. And we've got a special running right now, 75% off, just $2.49 per month for all the good stuff we've got. Back with more Four Quarter Friday on the Chief Sports Network, presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association, next. And we're back on Four Quarter Friday Jamborees tonight. We've got them stacked up. As a matter of fact, we'll go over that schedule kind of in detail as best we can before the show is up. But we've got Lou Bazejack coming up. Rob Williams had Lou from the state newspaper on the Leading Edge guest line earlier this week. As a matter of fact, there's a lot that you won't see on this show. Just a lot. So absolutely be a part of everything we do. YouTube is a great way to do that. Go to YouTube, Four Quarter Friday. Just search for that, and you're going to find a lot of things. Rob, you were at the Woodruff Jamboree two nights worth of it. They had to split that in two nights because of some weather, and you've got some great content up there. And, of course, we're going to have more, and it's just stacking up everywhere on YouTube. So we talk so much about the website, but it's the website with YouTube, with the stream, with everything.
The podcast channels. And the podcast channel, Smitty. You know, if you're listening, you just want to put it in your ear, you're driving around. We know a lot of people do that. And I see Roger over there in the chat box mentioning Woodruff, as you did, Smitty. Yeah, a couple of nights of weather definitely derailed that. McDonald's Kickoff Classic at Woodruff, but the Gaffney event was played. They've got two coming up tonight, Chapman and Burns, with McDonald's Kickoff Classic. But you're right. Not just fourquarterfriday.com. Start there. Then you're going to go over to YouTube. Right. You're going to listen on podcasts on Spotify or Apple, and you'll get full interviews of a lot of this. You'll get longer versions of these videos from coaches that Smitty got at the CMB. You're also going to get these full interviews with guys like Lou Bazejack. We'll have Brian Lane later. We had Richard Bush, head coach at North Augusta, yesterday. That one will be available soon. Earlier this week, Irma running back Ty Phillips had an exclusive one-on-one with me. So all of that is available there for you, and we want you to jump in there, watch, listen, however it is you want to consume it. Just make sure that you do consume it, because you don't want to miss out on the content that we have coming your way and more coming up next week and, you know, the week after that and the week after that and on through every sports season, because Four Quarter Friday never goes away, Smitty.
You've got to check your schedule, Rob, because I want to know if you're going to be able to see that Irma North Augusta game in person.
It is going to be something. It's going to be something. We talked to Coach Bush. We obviously talked to Coach Brand last week. We're going to continue to monitor that. Here's the thing, though. We'll kind of give this away. If you've missed the boat on this one, that Irma North Augusta game is a region matchup.
Mm-hmm.
North Augusta is in the region with a lot of CSRA teams, Fox Creek, Midland Valley, Aiken, South Aiken. I'm going to miss somebody down there. But then
Did you say Fox Creek? Fox Creek. I've got it in front of me. Aiken, Fox Creek, Irmo, Midland Valley, South Aiken, and North Augusta.
Oh, so I got them all. So you throw Irmo in there, and it's the only school that does not fit in that window and geographically. So you can look at that one way or the other. Smitty, we've got this also in the Grand Strand with a couple of teams that are going to be traveling down to Charleston, the kind of the one-off or two teams out of the six in the region that are going down to a different area. So we look at six areas of the state, a lot of CSRA in that North Augusta region, and then Irmo.
30-second answer here from you, Rob, before we get to Lou Bazejack from the state. Again, on the Leading Edge guest line. So Dutch Fork is not really going to see much action early in the season. They're not even going to kick off until August 28th. And I think at last check, they're not participating in a jamboree. Is that okay?
That is correct.
Charleston County has had their jamboree canceled. I was going to say advantage, disadvantage. It has to be a disadvantage, right? Not to play live football. I mean, you're going to have scrimmages. They'll go and they'll travel and play scrimmages. But I think that, you know, you always see at the beginning of the year the false starts and you know, a receiver not on the same page with the quarterback. A lot of those things happen, and you get those kinks out in jamborees and in week one, and Dutch Fork is not playing for 2 weeks.
I think the only quote-unquote concern that you would have if you were Dutch Fork is how do you gel with the new guys? However.
Transfers, right. Major transfers in major spots.
On the defensive side, your major transfers are like Peyton Bishop kind of stands out at the edge position. You don't have to gel a lot to put your hand in the dirt and go get the quarterback. On the other side of the ball, the Miller brothers, Malik and Corey Miller coming over from Irmo, are the kind of standout transfers from a skill position standpoint. And I will say that contacts I've talked to about Dutch Fork have told me they're going to throw the football. I think they have found success with this wide receiver core. Anderson Bean is back. For the Silver Foxes, they add the Miller brothers. They've got a couple of good running backs, but it looks like this team is going to be on Jackson Knott's arm offensively, and they've been taking some deep shots. So that tells me maybe, Smitty, they feel like they're already in a good spot and they've got all the kinks worked out because they've had a lot of success offensively. And their last scrimmage started off with two pick sixes to give them a 14-0 lead before the offense really got a chance to get going. That's Dutch Fork.
Yeah, that's Dutch Fork for you. So they ought to be fine. But maybe there's Charleston County schools. There could be a few situations.
No, that's true.
Because they're going to be playing live football. Games count next week, 8 days away. Next week or 7 days, August 21st. A lot of those Charleston County schools will then be in action. They did not get this jamboree because of some weather concerns. All right, Rob. Let's go to the Leading Edge guest line. Tell us about Lou Bazejack a little bit from the state. Lou's always sharp. Lou's always good. We love having him on. We love picking his brain a little bit. And it's my fault. I shoehorn Lou into the Midlands, but that's not true at all. He works for the state newspaper. He covers the state. He lives in Columbia. He covers the state. So he's able to, you know, throw a wide net over these teams here and give us intel on a lot of different clubs and programs across the state.
Yeah, a couple of things that were discussed with Lou, and again, you can find the full interview on our YouTube channel or at our podcast channels. But a couple of things here. Number one is you mentioned Dutch Fork. I brought up Dutch Fork and Northwestern. Who else is a challenger across the state? This was Lou's answer.
forward to seeing both of those, South Florence and Sumter, how they do. Obviously, Drew Marlowe, as his record speaks for himself, and see what he does now going back to Sumter, place he knows pretty well. Scott Braswell, they scrimmaged the other night against Camden and Irmo, and him finally getting that first head coaching job. He brings a lot of energy to the program. I mean, see if he can keep it going. South Florence is really build itself into a powerhouse. And then in the Midlands, you got a couple Carolina guys. You got guys like Corey Helms taking the step up from Pelion to Chapin. Chapin obviously struggled last year, but he's brought a lot of energy to the program. I know he even had him, I think they did a camp. They went out of state the first few days of practice to kind of from team bonding and also practicing. And Willie offered at Flora. Tough situation.
Okay, so that was actually Lou Bejack on new coaches around the state. First year at a new spot, Smitty. A couple of those guys that he mentioned that you need to keep an eye on there. Obviously, Scott Braswell sticks out. We mentioned him before, and you're going to get the early test between South Florence and Somerville to kind of tell us what's going on with the Bruins. We know South Florence's schedule is difficult, so we're going to know early what they kind of have, what is Braswell working with, and how can that develop? You and I have talked off air. Early season results don't always predict well what the end of the season is going to look like. So there's not necessarily a need for a panic button early if you don't see success for the Bruins, but we'll see how that goes. And a couple others in the Midlands there. He mentioned Offord. He mentioned Helms, Chapin, and AC Flora. When I asked him about power programs to move us to the upstate a little bit, you know, I threw out Dutch Fork and Northwestern. He said Burns and Dorman, two of the next ones on his list. We know about those two programs, Smitty, and they know a lot about each other, and we'll see them match up early in the season as well, as it's now a non-region game. So I'm interested, you know, to kind of get some updates tonight as well. Dorman will be over at Bowling Springs at their Jamboree. Burns will be hosting a McDonald's Kickoff Classic. What do we hear? What do we hear about those two teams? Because I think that there's a lot of talent on both teams, and then there's a couple of questions that we need to get answered. But Dorman, for me, Smitty, is flying a little bit strangely under the radar, and I think that's a big mistake.
Oh, they're loaded in talent, and I spoke to Jake Morris about that. So Dorman has the same problem that Sumter has, the schedule. How do you get through the schedule? And you have a piece up, fourquarterfriday.com, about the toughest schedules. But let me go back to Sumter for a moment. Lou Bejack mentioned Drew Marlowe going back to Sumter. And look, I'm all for buying the Sumter stock. I love Franklin Richardson, the quarterback. I love the talent at Sumter. I love I think he's taking over at a good time. I feel like a lot is going to mesh. But let me read. You tell me when Sumter starts playing pushovers, okay? Because they open with Somerville. Then the Gamecocks get White Knoll. They've got West Florence in there. Crestwood, Dutch Fork, Dorman, Blythewood, Gray Collegiate, at Ridgeview. Start telling me when the cupcakes start for Sumter. Or is it going to be a war every Friday?
Yeah, they don't have one, Smitty. It doesn't exist. I'll see your Sumter, and I'll raise you a Dorman as well.
Yeah, give me it's a good piece. It's a good piece you have. Everybody should go read. But yeah, listen to this murderer's row that Dorman has assembled here.
Starts with Hillcrest, which, by the way, is going to be one to watch. Mm-hmm. If you're not
underrated,
then don't sleep on Hillcrest. Then Burns. They got to go to Gaffney. They'll host Irmo. Oh, by the way, here we are talking about it, and then they have to go to Sumter. So, Gaffney, Irmo, Burns, Sumter, Hillcrest, not an easy road for them. No.
That's non-region. That's before Region 2 5A begins.
That's correct.
So you'd be on crutches limping into the region schedule. And so what will be so difficult, and this is what could happen, here's what I believe could happen this year, because you mentioned earlier, you know, meshing and how quickly teams will come together. And we talked about this earlier in the year. I think we have a piece up on this. Do not sleep on teams if they're like 1-4. But what could happen is one of these teams that we believe to be really, really, really good, a state championship contender. It could be North Augusta, it could be Irmo, it could be Northwestern, it could be Dorman, it could be Sumter. One of these clubs we think is really good is going to have to win road playoff games.
They are.
They're going to be in a tough spot because they will have finished second or third in their region. They're going to be on the road, tough environment in November. That's what's going to be so fun. So what we could have is we could have, like, power rating wise, some teams that we think are actually the favorite, but they're going into somebody else's stadium in November in the playoffs.
Absolutely, because they're going to take one on the chin early, and that's just – it just is what it is, Smitty. You know, we've talked a lot about the 4A, 5A classifications. I also asked Lou what he's hearing about Bamberg defending their Class A title. Here's what he had to say there. Bamberg, you mentioned them, you know, the defending Class A champions. What did you see out of Bamberg, if anything, that kind of talks about their title defense in 2026?
I think they got 18 starters back. Their quarterback's dynamic. He plays on offense and defense. He's really fun to watch. Throw a nice couple nice deep balls. I think they're going to be a factor.
So look, Smitty, they're obviously going to be a factor. I think Lou's putting it mildly when he says
18.
They're going to be. Yeah.
Have you heard that? I was just 18. At the press conference. Loris has four starters from a team, I think, that won 11 games last year. Bamberg Earhart brings back 18.
That's it. And, you know, the other team in Class A that gets a ton of attention right now is Fairfield Central, obviously led by Tyquarius Shannon, a dynamic athlete at the wide receiver position. The Griffins are going to be a factor in that Class A discussion. But there's so many teams, Smitty, and Lou and I talked about this too. We're gonna get some type of divisional split with Class A. We just don't know exactly what that's going to look like yet. Johnsonville's another one. I saw our man Lance in the chat box earlier. Johnsonville is going to be a player in that Class A discussion, but I could probably give you five teams that I think are going to really factor into that. That we know right now have got a lot of talent and that they are right on the edge. But 18 returning starters for the defending state champion is tough to beat in a preseason discussion, Smitty.
Doesn't Strom Thurmond have a lot of players coming back?
They do. That's 2A.
But yeah, they're going to be tough too in 2A. And a transfer quarterback.
Correct. And we talked to, we have pieces that came out this week. The Rivals composite rankings, preseason Class A, 2A, 3A are already out, I know. In that 2A classification, Strom Thurmond is number one, preseason number one. They've got players back. They've got a strong, strong culture in the Peach Fields. Andrew Webb has done a great job of building something that is unique. But it's also it feels a little throwback over there in Johnston, Edgefield County.
Yeah,
and the transfer quarterback is very familiar. That'd be AJ Hillary, and that Hillary
from name North carries, Augusta.
Yeah, correct. But that Hillary name carries a lot of weight in Edgefield. His dad, Antoine Hillary, was the coach and on the staff for quite some time at Strom Thurmond. So definitely something to watch with the Rebels.
All right, we've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Brian Lane join us, more in the Leading Edge guest line. So we'll get into Greenville County, and obviously we'll talk Spartanburg County while we're up there, kind of neighboring, and Jamie Bradford. Jamie Bradford, for many of you know, from Inside the Gamecocks, he posed a question to me. And I'll just let it sit with you, Rob, and then we'll get to it after the break because you're going to be in Rock Hill tonight checking out the Jamboree. And Jamie Bradford looked at the composite rankings on fourquarterfriday.com and asked the question, wait a minute, do you think South Point should be ranked number 3? Are they the third best team overall in the state? We'll get Rob's take on that. And what I did, I danced around it a little bit, talked about some of the underrated teams, but I will say this. South Point would be hearing footsteps. It's hard. That would be to be number top three in this state. Like by, that puts you ahead of, I don't know, Irmo, Dorman, and a lot of others that are just absolutely stacked with talent. But we know the kind of pride they have up in Football City, USA. So we'll talk about that when we come back. That's Rob Williams. I'm Matt Smith. This is Four Quarter Friday from the HD Law Studios on the Chief Sports Network, presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
Hasn't been actually on the field for you guys. You know, I've obviously talked to you in the spring and the summer. Now here we are. A little bit of weather. Last time I saw you out at Woodruff. So talk to me about how you've seen this team progressing in the preseason.
Well, you know, last year we had a team that was full of, you know, ninth graders, had a bunch of ninth graders playing, and, you know, started out, you know, with that bump in the road, those first four games, and then we kind of went on a nine-game winning streak, so those guys grew up, and just been seeing the continual growth just this summer. You know, we worked hard in the weight room, and, you know, had the most participation I've had since I've been there at Westside in the weight room, and just excited. You know, I think they feel the excitement of what this team could be, and, you know, you got to put in the work because, you know, everybody's working, so you just want to work a little bit harder. So that's why I feel good about what they've been doing this summer.
You mentioned Hannah. Obviously, they're right down the road, but when you look at the region, In addition to Hannah, a couple of changes, obviously Greenwood coming down. You've had some other teams come down into 4A just in general. Gaffney and Irmo kind of stand out. Talk to me about not just your region, but also the 4A classification this year and kind of how you feel like you guys fit into that group.
Oh, man, I think the 4A classification is going to be one of the toughest in the state. You know, and there's several teams, you know, I don't want to sit here and name teams because, I mean, it's several teams that are in the up part of the state that are definitely going to be tough. And then we get to the lower part of the state, you know, and I feel like, there's teams in our region that's going to be tough. You named a couple of them right there, and then Fountain Inn's going to be good. And then you got Lawrence, you know, coach is going to get Lawrence going over there. So, and then Easley, I mean, they're new to our region. So, it's going to be a pretty tough region, and look forward to seeing how we can do, and hopefully we can take care of region and get into the playoffs. That's one of our goals. That's, you know, it's everybody's goal at this time of the year to, you know, to win that first game, to, you know, win region, make playoffs, and then see where it goes from there. But yeah, really, 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 really good teams in 4A this year.
Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday, part of the Chief Sports Network. Let's talk ball.
Well, Coach Brian Lane is right. 4A is stacked up, and we've talked about that quite a bit. Gaffney is now a 4A team. So you get Gaffney and Irmo and North Augusta and Westside, who is really strong in 4A. As a matter of fact, that's a team that went undefeated in region play last year, and they're ranked 28th in our composite rankings heading into the season. But I think Coach Brian Lane, he certainly knows what he's doing. And we anticipate them certainly being good again. What else did you take away, Rob? Of course, as you've mentioned, you can see that entire interview. Look at our podcast network. Check out YouTube. We'll make sure we have that available to you, the entire conversation with Brian Lane from Westside. But what else did you take, Rob, from what Coach Lane said?
Yeah, he was able to kind of go through some of their major stars. Obviously, you know, people who are paying attention to the Rams are going to know names like Bear Woods and Christian Webb Scott, Tajay Watson Martin on the outside for them. Jay White is another receiver that's gotten a lot of college attention. I saw them in Woodruff this past week. Took a minute for them to get settled in. Bear is physically is like visibly bigger. And he posted last week that he had put on some weight in the offseason. Very, very thin young freshman last year. He's starting to really fill out. I'm 6'3 and a half, and I'm looking up at him, Smitty, as well. So he's definitely got the frame and the size at the quarterback position, was able to kind of get loose and let it fly down the sideline. Christian Webb Scott also looks bigger at the edge position. One of the top players in the 2028 class in the state of South Carolina. So, you know, talking to Coach Lane, we had some fun. We talked about this West Side team and what that talent looks like. But we also did a little throwback back to Woodruff and Burns and Clover and South Florence. And, you know, a lot of different places that he's been as a head coach, and looked at some of those players and how they compare to what he's got coming up this year. But I think that they are they're quietly confident. That would be my main takeaway from Brian Lane.
Well, 9-game winning streak last year. So it started out slowly, came out of the gate slowly, 9-game winning streak for the Rams, and then they were eliminated by South Point, which brings us full circle. That's another 4A team. Now, look, I mean, I'm sorry if I miss anybody, but South Point and Westside and Gaffney and Irmo and North Augusta, all in 4A, and I know there's some others that are certainly going to have a say in it before it's over. But what about that question Jamie Bradford asked, Rob? South Point, number 3 in the state, coming into the season. Now, they lost some in the transfer portal. As much as some of these other clubs have benefited that we've talked about, Strom Thurmond getting a quarterback, Rock Hill getting 13 senior transfers in, Dutch Fork, Irmo benefiting. But, yeah, Northwestern. So, but South Point has been somewhat quiet in the transfer portal is not the way to say it. And it's not a portal. I shouldn't. Players have left the program. And I don't know if that's been reflected in the composite rankings just yet.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And I'll find out a little bit tonight, obviously. I think that, you know, the intel that I've gathered over the preseason is that they're going to be firmly in the mix for a state championship again. Will they be as talented as they were last year with Jazavian Currents leading on both sides of the ball? I don't think so. But they've got transfer Braden Walden coming in from Denver, North Carolina. Rashawn Brown is one of the best running backs in the state. I've heard some say that he could be the best running back in the state. He's young. He's still a little undersized. We'll see how he continues to develop, but an extremely talented back. And you kind of know what you get on the defense. Obviously, Seth Tillman leads the charge over there. But that it's Football City USA, and they're going to have DBs. They're just going to. And, you know, I talked to Zay Currents about that. And he rattled off name after name after name of who's next for the Stallions in the defensive backfield. So we will see exactly what that looks like for them. They've gotten a little bit of action here in the early going scrimmages, gotten some intel back. They've got Palisades tonight, and they are the nightcap. So we'll see exactly what that looks like tonight, Smitty. But should they be 3 preseason? I don't know. You mentioned Dorman. A lot of talent for the Cavaliers. Okay. We talked about Irmo. We had Coach Brand on, talked to Ty Phillips earlier this week. You can check that out on YouTube. There's a lot of talent. There's a lot of talent for the Yellow Jackets, too. So it's an interesting question. I think coming off a state championship, that serves a little bit as to why they are where they are. And maybe you, if you're a champion, you stay at the top until somebody knocks you off.
Well, I'll say this. No one from the state of South Carolina, including Northwestern, beat South Point last year. They lost one game. That was Huff, a North Carolina power. Nobody inside our borders beat South Point last year. And the only 4A team to beat South Point in the last 2 years is Westside. So
yeah. It's strong.
Question it all we want, but to your point, South Point would stand there and the Stallions would say, knock us off. Somebody beat us. Somebody wants to.
I think that's exactly what they would say. I think that is exactly
they'd say it just like that with a little head bob. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Knock us off. You won't question us. All right. Listen, Jamborees across the state tonight. Rob Williams will be in Football City, USA. I will be at Brooks Stadium, campus of Coastal Carolina. That could be a split field situation, but we'll have updates throughout the night, fourquarterfriday.com. We're going to have Cole Bryson, voice of the Burns Rebels, giving us updates from the Burns Jamboree, and we're working on more. I think we'll have more correspondents out there bringing it to the Varsity Club message board and our live blog. So, Rob, final thoughts before we turn it over to Jamie Bradford and Inside the Gamecocks.
I'm ready to get out there, Smitty. Hottest day of the year. You and I both have on black shirts. I'm not sure what we were thinking, but I'm going to change before I head to Football City USA. Try to beat the heat. You guys do the same. Stay cool tonight, but enjoy some football. Go to fourquarterfriday.com. Look at the list. Figure out who's the closest to you and get out there. Let's do it. Take advantage of that 75% off. Only a few more days available on that deal. $30 for the year. Go do it right now.
Look for Rob. If you're going to be tonight in Rocket, look for Rob. Come say hello to him. He'll be in a tank top. I think he'll be in a tank top with the Oakleys. Is that how you do game day when it's hot?
If they, because I'll have the media pass, I will have to keep my shirt on, but tank top will work.
All right. He'll be repping us there, Rock Hill. Hey, thanks to everybody that is making this fun to do. Everybody in the chat, everybody jumping on the message board, the Varsity Club at fourquarterfriday.com. Hey, look throughout the day. We're going to have updates. We're going to have more content coming to the website today and then throughout the night. And maybe you even sleep through it. If you sleep through it, that's okay. It's going to be there for you in print. What you need to do is go over to fourquarterfriday.com. Our thanks to everybody that supports the program. Bill Maloney, Maloney Farm Bureau Insurance, the Leading Edge Guest Line, Leading Edge Fundraising, Hewitt Diamandouros for providing the studios, especially the Space Age one that Rob does the Morning Minute from. And thank you, of course, to the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. That's it for us. Inside the Gamecocks is next on the Chief Sports Network.